From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in crepuscular Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Arthur Croy, and I think I pronounced that word wrong.
Crepuscular?
Yeah.
Did you?
Maybe.
I was trying hard not to laugh.
For this week's episode, our topics are relaxing games and commitment. And so, everyone's ready. Let's start.
I'm Ellen Burns Johnson, and I really try not to laugh.
Crepuscular.
See, I told you. This is why I didn't want to say it on air, because I knew I would have a hard time.
But I wasn't
Maybe I said it right. It's all a blur. Ellen, what does this word mean?
God, why are we laughing? Crepuscular. Crepuscular is a word that means active during the twilight hours. Mm-hmm. So it's like, refers to animals. You know, like animals can be nocturnal, like an owl is nocturnal or a bat is nocturnal. Mm-hmm. Or humans are typically diurnal unless you're Mark.
I'm laughing on the outside.
Yeah. but tired on the inside. Yeah. Right. So there's like diurnal animals that are active during the day. Nocturnal animals are active at night, and crepuscular animals are active in the between times. Mm-hmm. So like deer, and deer are often very crepuscular.
Right. I see. And that's swallows. When we're recording this episode is, well, it's a bit late in the year, so it's dawn or dusk has occurred.
It's been dark for like an hour and a half now.
Yeah. But you know, what we would wish for.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you said that word correctly.
Fair enough.
I guess.
We're getting loopy, folks.
Yeah.
You each have something to talk about before we get into our topics. So let's do it. Who wants to go first?
Mine's going to be a big rant.
Okay. You should go first. I'll go first. Well, I totally failed at segueing into this properly because it would actually have been a great tie-in with Crepuscular. But I binge watched all of Midnight Mass in one sitting with Eric back when we were on our Den Venture. We visited Denver, and one of the things we did while we were in Denver is a thing you can do whenever you have a TV and an internet connection, and that is binge watch a Netflix show. Mm-hmm. So we did. Yeah. And the only tie-in with this episode is that it's Midnight Mass. It talks about being in the nighttime, and Crepuscular is kind of about the nighttime. So that was that. That's all I have to say. Okay. But it's a lot to binge watch. You stay up till 3 a.m. Please don't do
also,
it.
Also, isn't that show pretty dark? Like, not just in the fact that it takes place at night.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot to be binge watching.
Yeah.
All yep. right. I mean, hey.
Yep.
Whatever you need to vacation. Right? I mean, you do you.
And then the next day we went to the botanical gardens.
Oh.
Which were really pretty.
Huh. That's a big change of pace.
Absolutely. Variety is the spice of life.
True that. Okay. Nickelodeon.
Also spicy.
What's the name? The full name of the game is like Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl or something. Uh-huh. It's the new fighting game that just came out last week on like Tuesday or something.
You can hear the lack of respect in Steven's voice.
Okay, so here's the thing. First off, this game, they don't have any Fairly Odd Parents characters.
It really is called Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. Yeah, I thought you were just like throwing out random words. Like, it's probably called that.
Did not make it up. That's the name of the game.
It's pretty lame.
There's a lot of reps in that game that don't make any sense. There's like two Ren and Stimpy reps. This is not necessary. You don't need that many reps.
What is a rep?
Oh, sorry. A representative of the series.
So like
rep,
okay. Vocab. Just call them characters.
No. I have opinions.
Characters have stories, and it's a fighting game, Mark. Oh,
fair enough.
Yeah. You invited me on this podcast. This is the content you get. Anyways, I don't like a lot of the roster in the fighting game. And frankly, the way that the fighting game like plays is really weird.
Can I play as Doug?
No. Doug is, I guess, owned. I think Doug is owned by Disney or something at this point. So like,
oh, that's right, because it aired on ABC at some point. I don't know why I know that.
Yeah. So weird. you can't play as them because like you know, they don't own them anymore. Which is sad. I would like to play as Doug as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of characters I'd like to play as, but they're not in the game. Also,
do I get to play as any member of the Midnight Society?
No.
Ooh.
It's just not a game for you, Mark.
Now you guys are both mad.
Also, the game doesn't have tap up to jump, which is a staple in Smash games and platforming fighting games. You have tap up to jump. You
use the stick. I'm into that because I hate that in Smash.
Well, see, I know a lot of people do, so they're probably fine with it. But me,
Right, that's who matters right now.
Exactly. I'm not a fan. Put that mess in the game so I could play it properly.
put it in the game so he can be mad only about not playing the characters that he wants to play.
Yeah, I can't play as X.
And then also maybe losing to his brother from time to time.
It's not going
to
happen. Well, actually, in this game, it probably will, because he uses, my brother uses the buttons to jump, so he could probably play just fine. Mm-hmm. I haven't played against him yet, but probably not gonna. Okay. Okay, now that I've gotten all heated, somebody relax me.
Nice. Oh, hey-o. Pew, 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 pew. Oh, wait, that's not actually the sound that we want. We want, like...
There it is.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about relaxing games.
Yes.
Which is not hilarious because we've sandwiched it between Steven's rant, Steven's rant about Nickelodeon and his topic later, which is of course also about fighting games.
Yeah, he couldn't wait till it was his turn to talk. No. Get it in early.
Always.
But in between that high octane content, we'll have a little moment where we talk about relaxing games. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean casual games, right? And what I mean is games that are engaging, mm-hmm. but not stressful.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, something I can play in between Hades and Metroid Dread instead of mindlessly reading dumb stuff on Reddit. Or, like, I can play it while I'm, you know, like, in bed and going to sleep. My husband does not like it when I do that because he's very much about sleep hygiene. But I'm not. So I like doodling around on my phone before I go to bed. I don't know. I find it relaxing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I find it not relaxing if I end up on the wrong stuff on Reddit. But if I had a nice relaxing game I could play, mm-hmm. then that would be a great like bedtime ritual. I'd pet the dogs and then I'd go back into bed and I'd tuck myself in and I'd pull up my phone and I would move little blocks around or something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I listed out a bunch of games that I thought were kind of like what I was talking about, but I also wanted to hear kind of, you know, just recommendations from you guys and, mm-hmm. and whether there's a better way to maybe define this as a genre, because I think there are different like things that can be relaxing, but aren't necessarily what I'm talking about. So I think what I'm going to say is I'm going to take you on a journey of ideas and hopefully it'll come to a thesis at the end of the conversation.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. So some games I have found somewhat relaxing, which will help us get to our thesis. Optica.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Love that game.
Locally made.
Yes, yeah. Locally made by Gravik. And it was really, really relaxing. So you're moving shapes around. It's like one of those 3D puzzle games and you're rotating and you're trying to fit things together in 3D space. But there's also like some illusory mechanics that are really fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a mobile game. You could describe it as a casual game, but it engages your thinker more than most of these kinds of games do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the sweet spot that I want is like, it's a casual game. But a thinker, like you actually are engaged, mm-hmm. not just like you're tapping the buttons or whatever. Like it's actually grabbing your attention and engaging you in some way, but not in a way that like charges up your adrenaline.
Yeah,
because you're trying to go to sleep.
Yeah,
or you're trying to calm down so that you can play Metroid Dread again.
You know, I like the way you're describing that because the way I think of it, the way you're describing it, the way I'm thinking of it now is that like you're kind of playing a game that will just use up the rest of the energy in your battery tank.
Yeah.
That will not like fuel it back up or like try to get you to like overcharge your battery. I'm not describing this well. The metaphor is lost.
It fell apart at the end, but that's a really good metaphor.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. 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 So yeah, that kind of a game is kind of what we're looking for here.
Yeah. Right? Like I'm coasting to a stop.
Yes.
I'm still moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not like really accelerating. I'm still moving, but I'm moving, you know, coasting to a stop.
Yeah. That's cool.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of thinking about it. Now, I will say Optica was like perfect for me, except for on that one level I got stuck for like 4 days.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
Like 6-4? Like there's like it's, one level or something,
it's
right?
Further on in the game.
Yeah.
It's not like the last level. It's further on in the game and that was not coasting to a stop. That was not relaxing. I was mad. And I got through it and I didn't cheat. I don't think I could cheat because there wasn't any literature about it. So I had to
just. It's just everybody saying, "How do you beat this one?"
Basically, like how well you turn the thing and then you turn the thing some more. Thank you. Yes, I did figure it out, and that was very gratifying. But the experience of figuring that level out was not very relaxing.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My favorite was I talked to Matt about that level, and he's like, "Yeah, that was a toughie." Like. not apologizing for it.
Good for him.
Good for him, indeed. Yeah,
for real.
Good for him. Yeah. Maybe I'll play it again. Maybe I'll play it again and it'll be more relaxing because I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's been long enough that the puzzles will probably still kind of feel fresh.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of a cool strategy, actually, is because that game is, it's not randomized. It's the specifically designed levels. There's something kind of neat about doing it again sometime later because maybe you half remember it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's even more relaxing, but you're still thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, like some games you just can't play again, like Myst. That game will always make me mad. Anyway.
I mean, it's a new version just came out.
Is it a deluxe version?
Everything does look a little nicer, a little more polished. Oh, yeah. Well,
there you go.
But the ending's still like kind of cheesy. Yeah. Okay. Done. I'm sorry. This isn't
relaxed. Future topic.
Yeah. This isn't relaxed. that'll be my rant for the next meta. Anyway, Monument Valley, kind of similar mechanics when you're kind of rotating around. That one's pretty good. I don't remember being frustrated at any points there.
Yeah. I think for the most part, all of the puzzles just kind of worked. Or like it made sense if you looked at it long enough. And by long enough, it was like even like an hour at max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was maybe for the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pleasing to rotate. I think there's something about the motion that's really important for me, like in the engagement piece. Because like if I'm doing a racing game, obviously motion is really important, but that's not relaxing necessarily.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm driving around, like one of the things I always found really relaxing was in Breath of the Wild. I'm just riding my pony.
Yeah.
And we're like never just riding around. And then I'd switch ponies and I'd ride faster. Uh-huh. Or I'd switch ponies and I'd ride slower and I'd hit chickens or something.
Ellen, no.
It was the first thing that popped in my head. I don't think I actually hit many chickens. Maybe I did. Anyway.
You're not supposed to.
I hit the bad guys.
There you go. Yes, perfect. Those are the ones.
That's the story we'll tell the constable.
But like the motion is really important. But like not needing to rely on like twitch reflexes or anything to get through it.
Yeah.
So like
exactly.
Being able to rotate the puzzles around in Optica or in Monument Valley, or just being able to like move through the landscape and have some agency about where I go or how I move the thing seems to be really helpful in that, you know, to capture that feeling of relaxation that I want while also balancing it with like the necessary variety to keep me engaged.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Breath of the Wild is a good example because not the very end when you're hunting for the last couple of shrines.
Yeah.
But when you got a maybe 15 left or something, the work is finding them.
Yeah.
And it's very calming. Like, mm-hmm. You're just sort of like doing a search pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that, you know, you still need to like keep active, you need to be paying attention, looking all over the place, but it's relaxing. Then once you find it or find one of them, the puzzle inside isn't that hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, because none of them are that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like it's a slow walk to the reward at that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example.
Yeah. Well, maybe what I've been telling myself, maybe the thesis is I should just get out Breath of the Wild and play again.
Yeah, maybe. You have Hades to finish.
you gotta get to
Metroid Dread.
Well, I won't start a new game. I'll just pick up my old game and ride my horse around.
Okay,
fair enough.
I've got some fast ponies, you guys. Anyway, okay. So there's something. I guess there's something about motion that's important. We can come back to that a bit.
Okay.
There is a sequel to Monument Valley. I haven't played that.
I didn't realize there was a sequel.
I think there's a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Is it only on iPhone? Because the reason it took me forever to get to Monument Valley is because I have an Android.
It might actually be the case.
It might be on Android now, but a lot of these like high-profile mobile games go on iOS, and then they get released on other platforms later, but there's not the same hype at that time.
Yeah.
So I tend to miss them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that reason.
I think it's worth checking because I think it came out a while ago, but it might have been on iOS and that's why I haven't played it. But that was, I think, a while ago. So we'll look and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Either way. Some other games that kind of came up when I was brainstorming things that might work was like Alto's Adventure, which is snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is I'm bad at it, which makes it stressful or frustrating, at least not stressful necessarily, but it's not relaxing because I fall down a lot. And I think that just might be, I don't know, maybe my phone's bad. Maybe my fingers are bad. I'm not sure. But it's not as relaxing as I need it to be.
Sure.
You know, it's the games I'm thinking of. Maybe I'm just an intense person, but like, I feel like Baba Is You, which is you can play the same level 600 times in a row.
Mm.
Like you can restart it. Like that is a thing that can happen in that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty relaxing. Like even when I was stuck, which was not infrequently. Or I mentioned this last episode, but XCOM 2 is a game that was so, had so much routine. It had like, it's a deep-ish game, yeah. but you kind of do the same things over and over.
Yeah.
And there's a lot on the line if you fail, but like, it's fine. Like it was,
you
for
felt
me, it was
relaxing with that.
Yeah. Kind of did.
That is shocking.
I think there's a meta element to that game, which is this like countdown to the final alien invasion you can't avoid that. When I was reminded of that, I'm like, oh, right.
Oh, okay.
But the actual, when you play each stage,
yeah.
You have all the time in the world, and yeah. it's pretty chill.
Okay. Well, that's true. XCOM gives you the opportunity to sit there and plan your moves before you do them. So
yeah,
you just have
you
a
do
lot
it at your
time.
Own pace. Maybe yeah. that maybe that's a hallmark of games like this is you being able to engage it at your own pace.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So like the games that you're describing here, like Optica, Monument Valley and stuff, I don't think of them as relaxing. I think of them as challenges I need to overcome. I think I probably was fairly relaxed when I was playing them, but I don't think of them in that way.
Yeah.
But like when you brought up like XCOM and like you have a bunch of time to think about your moves and stuff, I was reminded of Civilization VI. because like I would play that game and it's, well, it's relaxing in a probably a negative way because I play it too, and then you just play it and it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
but like you have a lot of time to think about your moves and stuff, and it feels good to like, you know, to see your civilization progress.
Yeah.
That is really satisfying, but also like you don't, it generally speaking, isn't that stressful except for like the beginning where the AI tends to like war.
Yeah. Like barbarians are a nuisance, but like that game is even on harder difficulties. That game isn't that hard.
You just have to get past the first 100 turns. Basically.
Yeah. And compared to something like SimCity, where you're always literally putting out fires.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or preventing, you know, sewage overruns or whatever. Like the game generates problems for you. It's just more plate spinny.
Yes.
Whereas Civilization is more just making steady progress till you win.
Yeah. So once you get past the part where it like gets stressful in the beginning, but it's, you know, more engaging, you can just kind of sort of play through the motions. Mm-hmm. I find that very satisfying. Maybe in a relaxing sense.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. There's something in there. Like, Firewatch is another one that came to mind.
Oh, yeah.
The story isn't always relaxing.
Yeah.
but until the end of the game, a lot of it was for me, like, because we were just walking around outside, and I know that that's a walking simulator, I guess, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what I'm taking away from this, is I just need to play more walking simulators when I'm trying to go to sleep. But, like, there was enough challenge in the navigation elements when you're trying to, you know, do your map and figure out where you are, mm-hmm. and then figure out a path to that that doesn't, I mean, you couldn't like fall down a cliff in Firewatch.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really let you.
Mm.
But trying to figure out the map was kind of like a puzzle, and
then
getting there was pretty relaxing, and you had all the sounds and everything. So
one of my very favorite things to do in games is charting a course.
Yeah.
Ah.
I love that. Mm. It's like you make a plan and execute it.
Yeah.
Like that is so satisfying. And Breath of the Wild, of course, has that.
Yeah.
But lots of games with mini maps have that quality, which is really fun. And so the sign of a game that you engage with on that level is how frequently do you use fast travel?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah.
You know, how willing are you to lose some time, not just because the loading screens take a while, which is another reason to not use fast travel, but like because you are, you know, you're going to enjoy the way.
Yeah.
Or you want to see about like weaving through whichever, you know, streets and alleys in whatever Assassin's Creed city.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember like being kind of disappointed. Eventually I got to the point when I was looking for the shrines in Breath of the Wild that I would just like start using fast travel all the time.
Yeah.
And I felt disappointed because it was like, it was really fun to walk around the land, but
it
kind of meant that I was getting tired of walking around the land in that.
Right.
So
right.
I just eventually wanted to move on and finish these shrines and move on with my life.
But you're talking about walking simulators. Yeah. One of the things that stresses me out is a game that where I don't know where to go and I could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Myst, Abduction was a game that we had people over, and I think Stephen, you were there one or two of those nights.
I saw a little bit.
We started playing it. Martha was at the wheel, and we started playing through the game. And then we started doing something else. And so I picked up and kept playing a little bit. And the thing that frustrated me most was that like supposedly calming sense of wandering through, but having no idea where to go.
Once
I found the puzzle I needed to find, then I'm like, I can engage this puzzle. It's fine, even if it's frustrating or even if I'm missing a piece, whatever. But just like do I go over that hill or that hill?
Ugh, oh, like, sure. Oh, yeah.
I had all the time in the world. There was nothing. Yeah. I had no framework with which to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That drove me nuts.
I get that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's like getting lost when you're, you know, in the city. Like, you're not lost. You'll be okay if you just go in a direction. But, like, you don't know where you're going. So,
right.
So you're like, where do I go?
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally get that. Yeah, I feel like that. In certain Metroidvanias and stuff too.
Yeah.
There's always that point in Metroidvanias where you're looking for the one freaking item you need to move on
and
to
the next
level.
Know that this area so well that, like, you're, as you retrace your steps over and over again, you're like, I know I'm not going to find it, but I'm going to look over here again.
Yep. That's exactly that. Huh. That's interesting. Like, when does a relaxing game become not relaxing? Ellen, you touched on it a little bit. You know, that puzzle in Optica.
Yeah.
You're very frustrated with it.
Well, that one puzzle.
Yeah, one puzzle.
Most of Optica was still, it was exactly the right balance point, and that's not a criticism of the game at all.
Yeah. The game is so well balanced and so well paced that one level is just like funny how hard it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool.
It's hard to even be mad at it.
I'm not, you know, I'm
after the fact.
I'm really right
in the moment. Yes,
but yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
No, it's really is like almost like a climax of the story. Like, it's a puzzle game with like a really cool narrative arc, actually, in a weird way. And it teaches you how to play in a really cool way. But we're not talking about just Optica. we're talking about games that are relaxing. And we've talked about a couple components that I think are relaxing, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about motion that's not like reflexive based. It's like slow and controlled motion. You get to choose the speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your reflexes don't really matter. We talked about like having a goal or a challenge or something, but it not necessarily being like, again, based on your speed or reaction time or, you know, accuracy or whatever, but it's something that, you know, you can work towards, like a framework, solving a puzzle, going to a place on the map. And I'm not sure. I think that's kind of what we landed on. Now to answer your question, Stephen, things that don't work are like, I think having reaction based physical mechanics, because then you're just revving yourself up. And maybe that's relaxing. Like, I've, you know, playing Thoth a lot, I finally got to the point with that game where it was relaxing for the early levels. Even then, more further on in the game, when it got much harder, I would get like tense, and it would not be a game that I'd want to play before I go to sleep. Another thing that doesn't work for me is like when it becomes a treadmill. So there's this great Android or game that I played on Android called Animal Restaurant. And it's got like the cutest, it's like a little restaurant manager. Mm-hmm. It's got the cutest little animations. They're all really simple. And each one's like an animal. You have animal customers and animal employees. And they all have like two animation states. They go from like paw up to paw down. And they're all going like this back and forth. And it's really, really cute. And you can like serve all this cool kinds of food and open different parts of your restaurant. But the thing is that it's just that.
Yeah.
You know? So and you get more food that gives you more money, so you can buy different foods, so you can make more money, so that you can buy different foods, so that you can, you know, it's just, it gets you stuck in that loop, and then that loop becomes boring.
Yeah, right.
So that was relaxing for a while and adorable for a while until I just abandoned my business.
Yeah. There's like a whole genre of that stuff. I mean, Animal Crossing is like that, but I think it's well enough designed that people have frequently expressed their shock that they're not bored by it yet. I haven't played, but I trust that that's true, because a lot of people have said that.
Yeah.
Like Neko Atsume is another one of those types of mobile games where it's like, oh, after a while, you get the idea.
Yeah.
And it's only at a certain point, you're like, I'm not disliking this. I just am bored and I don't need to do it anymore.
I just don't need more cats.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with it. Goodbye.
You know? Yeah.
Like,
there's a little bit of that, which is a weird way to bounce off a game.
Yeah.
Is to just be done with it in that sense.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that's the reason that I'm describing, that I mentioned that game in the context of talking about things that I didn't like, because I don't like that ending.
Yeah.
Like, I got no sense of closure or anything. It's just like, I just decided to be done.
Yeah.
It's almost like an existential moment where you're like, is this all there is? I guess it's all meaningless, and then you just walk through the door. You're done.
Yeah, and then I download another game that's similar and start the whole cycle over
again. Right.
This will be the one.
Yeah.
Those games don't
there's have meaning
off,
here.
Those games don't have off ramps because they want you to keep playing it so you can keep spending.
Right, yeah.
So like,
and it I makes don't
sense.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense that
the one that I've been playing is so there's a Threes or 2048.
Oh yeah.
There's I'd never played that before, but there's a version of it that's skinned for Doctor Who.
Oh.
And the original version of Threes was a open source game. So it's very frequently, and it was a web game, very frequently been turned into like on you know, promotional purposes because it's free to do it, right? Unlike other games where it's more of like they try to make it not as much of a knockoff. When you take Threes, you can just have it, like at least at least the original version of the game. And it seemed like Doctor Who, you start off with the first Doctor, and if you put two first Doctors together, you get the second Doctor.
Yeah.
And you have to go all the way to the 13th Doctor, which is actually the 14th character in the series, because there's a gap between 8 and 9, or an extra one in between 8 and 9.
Yeah.
So it's just three. I'd never played Threes before, and I started playing this thing, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And I know these characters well enough that they just read as numbers now.
Yeah.
And I still go back to it for like a casual relaxing experience, but like with 2048, you win when you get to 2048.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
But with this one, it's 14 orders of magnitude. It's like many times harder to get to that. So there is an ending in that sense, more than other types of games of it. And I still go back to that, and I've gotten all the way to 12. But once you get to 12, you literally have to play the entire game over again to get to 13, because it orders scales that way.
Yeah.
And I quickly realize the futility of it, but I'm like, I go back to it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's relaxing until I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play this again. But it's just that tiny moment of me just being done with it for the night.
Yeah.
I never fully get frustrated with it.
Interesting.
Which is really weird for me, because that's not the type of game player I am generally.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that game has an off ramp, and it's like, I think you understand it. So you just execute a game plan, and that makes sense for you.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I mean, you know, I get that too, because like it kind of, I played Threes.
Yeah.
Eventually I got to the point where like, I was like, I'm not that good at the game. In order for me to get better, I'd have to just play it a lot. And you kind of have to you have to play the game a bunch to get to progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you have the big number in order to get a second big number so you can make that number even larger. You have to play the game basically over.
Yeah. You have to play perfectly. And the thing I realized pretty soon on is that there's enough randomness as to where the new ones spawn that it is essentially once you are perfect at the game, that doesn't guarantee you anything.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a toy at that point. Wow. So when you eventually lose, it's just a bad roll to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's frustrating in that existential sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that like, what is the point of this? If me being as good as the game I'm ever going to be, I just have to make sure that I keep rolling good die all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Right.
In which case that's what makes it hard. And it's like, but it's still, it's still very relaxing all the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it works for you, works for you. I think one thing you touched on though is like, two things actually, because you touched on like, for me at least, it's relaxing if it has an off ramp.
Yeah.
So I know that there'll be an end.
Yeah.
Because you know that phrase, all good things come to an end? If you reverse the X and the Y, does it mean that it can't be good if it doesn't end?
Mm.
Whoa.
Oh,
there's a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. And the other thing is a sense of meaningful progress, like that you're making meaningful progress each time that you actually play. And so I guess I need like five things for something to be relaxing. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But I'll keep looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, games are a lot. They have the five things that you require. You listed a whole bunch of them.
We did. Well,
they're providing.
And then I listed the things they weren't providing. Like Alto's Adventure. It's got all the things except for it's too hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the reason I was mentioning that version of three is because I think it's hard to know.
Yeah.
There's just some alchemy of it. And, that is just like, this would normally frustrate me in this way or that way. And I thought like, am I just like bewitched by it being a Doctor Who thing? And I found a bunch of other online versions of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I had with theirs is I won them too quickly.
No.
Yeah.
And so I went back to the Doctor Who one because it's like impossible. And so that's the one I go to when I'm like, I need a second, like calm myself between tasks or whatever. But like, I wouldn't have guessed it. And there's lots of games where you look on paper and you're like, these are all the things I like, but I got bored.
Yeah.
None of this makes sense to me, but like, it kept me going. Like, there's, I mean, I'm not one to believe in alchemy, but like, there's unknowable variables.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Right.
I guess one last game I'll mention that I do continually go back to because it is just enough is Really Bad Chess.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, published by Noodlecake, designed by Zach Gage. I think I've talked about it on the show before, but basically it's like, here's a chessboard. And what if you didn't get the right number of pieces? Yeah. You know, what if you ended up with like four rooks and like three pawns or something like that? Or you ended up with three queens, you know, and you just play with the pieces that you're given. So yeah, like
it's expressly not balanced.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly. And sometimes it's, you can change the difficulty so it's balanced in your favor or mm-hmm. balanced in the opponent's favor. You can play other people. You can play the AI. I'm not very good at chess to begin with, but that is okay here because it's not really chess. It's really bad chess. So like I'll get on a night and be like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to read Reddit or I'm going to play really bad chess, and I'll pull up really bad chess and I'll lose or I'll win and that'll be enough.
Yeah.
I'll just be done.
I think what's doing this is what you mentioned at the very beginning, it being engaging.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about chess is every move is a puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's impossible for chess to be routine.
Yeah.
Unless you've been playing for 30 years, you're that type
right.
of player.
Well, yeah.
It's always engaging your noodle, even if it's really easy, because you're always thinking about like a couple moves ahead yeah. or this is an easy move, but could I do a less optimal move now in exchange for what it'll set me up for three moves from now? And having a bunch of random starting positions basically gives you a lot to think about.
Exactly. Right? Every single board is a different puzzle.
Like, is yeah. this an advantage for me or isn't it?
Right.
Like if you don't know a lot about chess or you're like an amateur, like most of us,
right.
that's a fun challenge to deduce, like to read the board.
Right. Yeah. Right. Am I going to, you know, if I had a regular board, would I do my standard opening where I move the pawn that's like right in front of the queen or whatever? I don't remember exactly what I do, but mm-hmm. I don't know enough about chess to know the significance of making that my first move all the time. I just yeah. know that I like getting my queen out yeah. there. I mean, she's like my rocket launcher. But with really bad chess, it's like, well, I've got three queens. Which one do I start with?
I might have mentioned this on the show before. Have you heard of Fischer's Random Chess?
Mm-mm.
So Bobby Fischer was one of those players who is, you know, world famous chess player.
Right.
Who got extremely bored of chess.
Yes.
Because at high level play, everything is routine.
Yeah.
Every move has a known counter.
Yep.
Every known counter has a known counter. And the whole early game and into the mid game is just boring for really good players.
Sure.
So he just invented a game where you just randomize where the pieces are and it's identical for both players.
Hmm.
So you just have to use your chess skills and you no longer have any use for your memorization.
Right.
So that's essentially what real bad chess is.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a more chaotic and more sort of enjoyable to the amateur kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly what it was for him, where he just got bored of chess and he found something to make it not boring.
Yeah.
By bringing back what was interesting about it.
Yeah, yeah. Not taking out the routine. I was trying to get into Go a while ago.
Yeah.
Which is the game where you have like the intersecting lines and the white dots and the mm-hmm. black dots yeah. and you're trying to capture territory. And I found the rules kind of difficult to follow, and then I couldn't get Eric to play with me. So I'm just playing with myself, which is not very fun.
Ellen, I will play Go with you. I haven't played Go since college, but it was like a 4-month period where I was super into it.
Okay. So I'll message you late at night when you're just up working and I'll yeah. be like, I need to go to sleep. So can you play a game of Go with me? Okay.
Yeah, I'll be like, I have a lot of work to do tonight and it's already 2:00, but I will put it aside because this sounds fun.
Perfect. Problem solved.
All right. I mean, problem solved.
I'll be asleep.
Well, who will adjudicate our disputes?
You two.
I'll be asleep. We'll take a screenshot and we'll post it yeah. to
I'll
Discord.
Get to it at 6:00 in the morning.
We'll still be playing. sounds like a relaxing evening.
Great. Shoot. We might have to keep thinking about this. We'll come back to it later in a later episode. Did it work? Oh, I said I was going to do the call to action for
this
one.
You did.
Okay. Well, here it's me again. So I want to say something about our show that I like, and that is that we make lots of funny sounds with our faces, but we don't have lots of crazy radio sounds like annoying DJs do.
Now, you're going to know who edits this episode by whether you hear crazy sounds right now to undermine what Ellen just said.
Yeah, I don't think I'm editing this one, so...
It so might be me.
Maybe.
That actually leads me right into the thing I wanted to talk about, which is the feedback form. So, like, if you like the fact that we don't have lots of crazy DJ sounds, you can tell us that on the feedback form. Or if you liked Steven's demonstration just now of the crazy sounds and you want more, you can tell us that too on the feedback form.
What sound
form.
Did I make?
Well, now you got to do it.
What did I do?
You got to put underneath in the edit.
Oh, right. I'm editing this, I guess.
Yeah, you haven't done it yet, Steven.
Dale, put this in the... Put a crazy noise in this.
Pew, pew. That's about as close as we've gotten.
Yeah, pew, pew.
Mm-hmm. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
yeah, anyway, so we don't really do that much. But if you want it more, you can tell us that in the feedback form. Or if you want to tell us, like, what more topics do you want us to do? You want us to have a more of a certain type of episode? You want us to do more like Nice Thinking? Mm-hmm. Or some other new format of show that we haven't even thought of yet? You can tell us that. You can give a suggestion and we'll see it in the feedback form.
Yes.
Do we have enough Star Trek references?
We don't need feedback on that.
No, yeah, we don't.
Cool. All right. Nice game.
I'm glad we're in agreement.
Okay.
That's what he thinks, but
nicegames.club/feedback.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Steven?
Yes.
Explain yourself.
I've been trying to explain myself to myself for many years, Mark, and I haven't reached a commitment yet.
I wasn't teeing you up for transition. I really want you to explain.
I know. Okay.
What is commitment?
All right, mean? Commitment in fighting game sense is a fighting game term that I just now discovered was a fighting game term and not a regular thing that's in game design. which I guess I should have saw that coming.
The more you know.
It's basically like when you do an action, you're locked into that action for a certain amount of time. So the commitment is how long you're locked into that action for.
Right. When I hear people talking about fighting game strategy, I hear about cancels.
Yes.
A lot. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to talk about. Like, I understand the actual mechanism that you're describing, but it just doesn't occur to me that that's something that has an interaction. But it makes sense when you have two players at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And different moves have different amount of commitment.
Exactly. Yeah. So hit confirmed, which I think we talked about in the fighting game topic that was years ago, I guess now, is like basically when you hit somebody, you can confirm that you can do the rest of the actions, the rest of the combo. And so like it's not much of a commitment if you just do a quick attack to confirm into more powerful attacks. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. With respect to commitment, though, I kind of want to talk about this with not just in a fighting game sense, but also like in an action game sense.
Yeah.
Because I oftentimes will see, gamers talk about like how this game, you know, is snappy and quick and all of the actions are very fast. And I feel very differently in how, like, I want my games to be.
yeah.
I like games to be slower.
Right. Isn't that how Dark Souls does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dark Souls is specific in that like, All of your actions are relatively slow compared to like Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
But like, you know, all of your opponent's actions are also very slow. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that kind of aspect in gameplay because, you know, your actions are easy to read. Your opponent's actions are easy to read. So it's easier to know what the heck is happening on screen. Yeah. You ever watched a Melee game and people are just, you know?
Yeah.
Just gonna make a note of that. Cut it out for later use.
Yep. You know, they're doing all that.
Yeah.
You can't tell what the heck is happening on the screen unless you like, you know, are very familiar with Melee. Then it makes it hard to read. But there are other games that are a lot slower that you can like Soul Calibur is relatively slow for a 3D fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's the one you like?
That is the one I like.
Tekken is the one you don't.
Tekken is the one I hate.
Okay.
Tekken, oh my gosh, the motion in Tekken is the worst freaking thing.
because of the lack of commitment?
Sort of, yeah.
All right, actually, maybe I'm getting it.
That's right. Yeah. I also like slower animations because they get to be more expressive and cool looking.
Yeah,
that's
fun. Yeah. Now let me ask you this. This concept makes sense to me in an action game sense.
Yes.
For games that use like the Arkham games have the sort of brawl sort of sense where you sort of chain actions and then they play out.
Yes.
And I think the best expression of that is Spider-Man, which I love that game. I love the way it feels. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually not one to like that be my favorite thing about a game.
Yeah.
But it's definitely my favorite thing about that game.
Yeah.
And it's because you can decide what to do. It's like you're operating Spider-Man from like a remote. I mean, you really literally are, mm-hmm. but like, you know, and you're just telling him to do these things, and it's far less reliant on timing encounters.
Yes.
It's much more about like seeing something coming and knowing what to do after you're done with the current thing.
Yes.
And not necessarily doing a perfect counter to
the game is more like both Arkham Knight. All the Arkham games and Spider-Man are kind of more like rhythm games.
So with fighting games, like it can't work that way. You have to be more precise than that, right?
It can't work that way from a full meta sense. Like I think in the beginning when you're starting out with fighting games, it kind of works that way because you see a person use Falcon Punch or whatever, and it takes forever for that thing to wind up and end. So you can hit them after that.
Right.
But like when you get to higher level gameplay, they're not using Falcon Punch unless they know they can hit it.
Well, no, I know, but I mean the person doing the Falcon Punch.
Yes.
What do they have to wait until they can, like, where they're out of that commitment period to do the next thing, or can they chain their activity?
Oh, not with Falcon Punches. It depends on what action.
I mean, just generally, because that's how the system in these action games works.
Yeah.
Is you can kind of like queue up a punch before the previous one is done.
Yes. I see. I think I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
I think depending on the actions you're trying to do, if you're trying to do light actions, you're going to want to use a bunch of small actions, and you will effectively queue them up.
Yeah.
Like there's the part where you're playing footsies and you're dancing around your opponent, trying to see what your opponent's going to do. And what and you're trying to counter what you think your opponent is going to do. In that instance, throwing out random actions and not really committing to those actions, but just throwing them out so your opponent knows that you mean business, is important and is part of the game.
Right. But there's no point in which when you press a button, it's not meant to be specific. The action is not always takes place when you press the button.
There's no point when, sorry.
I think, what I'm describing is like when you're playing one of these games where you like chain combos.
Yes.
You don't have to, the first time you press it, then you're committed to that action. And while that action's happening, you can commit to the next action.
Yes.
And the timing window is very generous.
Oh, I see. Yeah. There are games in general, fighting games in general have kind of moved, most of them have moved past like making combos hard to execute.
Yeah.
In terms of like timing based stuff, a lot of them have auto combos now where you just mash the X button and you'll get a pretty decent combo.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the most optimal, but like it'll get you by for a lot of fights.
Yeah,
that's how I do it.
And I mean, it works. So like, I don't blame anybody for doing that. It works if you can pull it off.
You could have just stayed quiet.
Yeah, but I think like, but that's an interesting thing. Like the Arkham games and stuff, I don't think you really have to commit to a lot of the actions that you do in that game because in any point, like whenever an opponent is about to swing at you, you can just counter them. Like almost during your animations.
That's true. You do have that ability.
Yeah. So I think it's not a hard
there are certain types of things that you do fully commit to.
Yes.
But just general actions, you can cancel pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought up canceling because that is an important thing that I didn't even think about.
just way too in the weeds.
Well, how much you can commit to something includes how much you can, stop that animation from happening at any given point.
Yeah.
Actually, something that I was kind of disappointed with the new Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is that in that game, you could cancel your taunts, which, I mean, probably isn't that controversial to most people. They probably don't care. But to me, I like the idea that, like... But
you should be punished for taunting too much.
Yes, you should be punished for taunting too much. And if you pull off a taunt and they don't punish you, then you get, it's like... there's psychological damage.
Now, this might be self-evident, but a taunt in a fighting game is literally what it sounds like.
Yes.
It does no damage.
You just do a fancy animation that shows off the character, the character of the character you're playing as.
It's basically bad sportsmanship in a mechanical sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Right. You can still taunt as much as you want with your face parts. Right.
Yeah.
Or your hands. Right. I mean,
this just makes it a first-class function of the game.
Yes. Right. But Ultimate allows you to cancel your taunts partway through.
Yeah.
So, like, you could taunt somebody and then, like, hit them before your taunt animation.
So you could faint a little bit.
Exactly. Which is kind of neat.
There's a different psychology.
Which is kind of neat, but I would prefer just actual fainting. Like, actual, like, partway do an action and then stop your action and do another action or something.
Right.
Or cancel that actually completely. Mm-hmm. Actually, Soul Calibur has a lot of that. I think Tekken does a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the taunts were less committal and I like them less. I like commitment in my games. I like that, like, when I make a decision, I have to commit to that decision for 30 frames or whatever.
Right.
Cause that feels satisfying when that commitment that you made is paid off in a satisfying way. Like, you get fancy hit sounds, fancy hit flashes. The boss, you know, shakes because you were so powerful with this big old slam that you did. You know, all that stuff is very satisfying. If you just, like, hit a button and in five frames, the attack is done and, the you know, nothing really, you don't really feel a lot of it. I don't like that. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to process this out loud.
Okay.
I do not play fighting games very often. That's okay. When I do, like I just said, X button.
Yeah.
But I did do a lot when I was younger. I did a lot of actual sparring.
Yeah.
In the ring. So I'm going to use some of that language to try to explain what I'm experiencing.
I love this.
Way that I'm interpreting this. So, like, you're in a fighting game and you're moving around your pawn and you've got this dynamic situation.
Yeah.
There might be palm trees or whatever in the background.
Yep.
It's just some loose chickens.
Not after I went through. Right. No, that was distracting, Mark. Okay. So you're gonna try to get some reaction. You wanna get some reactions because then, you know, your opponent will react, and when they react, it might create an opening for you. So you wanna make sure that there's gotta be energy moving back and forth between between you and your opponent.
Yes.
So you might do an action, but you don't do it with a lot of commitment.
Right.
And you intentionally don't do it with a lot of commitment. You
do a low committal action. Yeah, like you're saying. Yes.
Right. Okay. And so then they're going to respond with maybe a low committal action, but that's what you're expecting. So then you can be ready with, like, a high commit action that's going to be highly impactful.
Yeah. There you go.
So, all right.
That's the good stuff.
And that's what you want.
Yes.
Well, that's really interesting, because, like,
that's what all fighting, regardless of the speed, that's what all fighting games provide.
Right.
Or they should anyways.
Right. But what you're saying is they don't always.
Well, no, I think that they always do, but at the impact of that is more or less depending on, like, how frequent attacks come out.
Interesting.
I think a lot of fighting game players and action game players like fast-paced gameplay, which is fine. I understand that too, because mashing buttons is fun, even when they don't do things. They don't do a lot. Like, doing a lot of things is fun. But I think that there's a lot of satisfying gameplay that can happen when, like, a game is just slower paced and more methodical in how you're doing it, and more, like, there's more thought process in it. There's a lot. To me, the core of fighting games feels more easily accessible when the game is slower, because more people can, like, more, they start thinking about their actions more.
Yeah.
You know, that makes me think about how there's, like, Smash style games, four player brawlers, right? The genre is so specific to Smash and all of its imitators, even though there's no particular reason for that. And then there's the standard Street Fighter style fighting game, which I feel is a little more varied. But fast paced actions doesn't really work for a Smash style game, because there's so much physical space.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up.
Right.
Because the new Nickelodeon game, all those actions are fast.
Yeah.
Everything about that game is fast and it looks silly.
When I play Smash, just because the way the game is presented to me, my instinct is to dart in and out.
Yeah.
Like, get into a fight, get out of a fight, position myself for a new thing. That's the methodical thing that you're describing.
Yes.
Am I reading that right? Or is, because I'm thinking about every time I see one of these Smash directs where Sakurai talks about all the different things you can do, I'm like, why? Like, there's like, just be Meta Knight and do that one thing, and most of the time you'll win.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's my Smash strategy. And because you have all that space, so all the things people can do, it only matters in that fraction of a second when you go to each other and you've each made one choice, and then you can bounce.
So, part of commitment is also moving back and forth. That should be a commitment as well.
Sure.
And I think that, like, in fact, especially in later Smash games, movement is a pretty significant commitment.
Sure.
Because how fast you move, there's not a lot of, like, low commitment movement options in the later Smash games. In Melee, you have wave dashing, which is technically hard to do.
Yeah.
But that allows you to, like, move in a way that is relatively low committal, because, like, once you do a wave dash, you can cancel that wave dash into any action very quickly.
And that's an exploit.
It's an exploit.
It's a standard part of the meta now.
It's part of
everybody
the game
does
now,
it, right?
Yes,
like, you can't be a melee
new
player.
The new Nick game was designed with wave dashes. Like, it has wave dashes.
Yeah.
They called it wave dashes in their little "this is how you play the game" thing video. It was so strange. I don't have a high opinion about this game, if it wasn't clear. But like the newer Smash games don't have those low commitment things. You can walk, but walking is so slow that it's not very beneficial.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times you just have to run, and you could cancel your runs into actions, but there's a period of time when you start a run where you cannot do that.
Right.
And so like you have to commit to dashing in or dashing out, and your opponent can capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. So really in, I mean, like I said, in all fighting games, all of your actions have some form of a commitment in it, and you need to like gamble around that and determine if that commitment is worth it.
Yeah.
So that like you can, you know, deal more damage than they deal to you.
Sure. Sure. And so that's still fast reaction. It's just, you're saying you prefer more consequences for committal, so that literally takes longer.
I want more commitment in general from all actions, I think.
Okay.
Because like I find that to be more enjoyable when people are making conscious decisions to do things or not do things.
Right.
Versus just being able to spam buttons.
Yeah.
Because it's fun, and also that's kind of how the game is supposed to be played.
Also, there's more evident strategy. Like you're able to better read what your opponent is doing.
Exactly.
If you can actually see more of it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people like the highly technical gameplay of faster games.
Right.
Because like there's an execution challenge, and I think people come to fighting games for execution challenges. I don't enjoy that as much.
Right.
And so I don't want that as much in my games. Yeah. So I don't like Tekken.
I tried to do a quarter circle on a Sega Genesis gamepad in 1994.
Uh-huh.
Never again.
Exactly.
I don't need that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so like that's why I want more fighting games to feel more accessible to people.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I have an issue with this Nickelodeon fighting game. Mm-hmm. It's because like you play as Nickelodeon characters. This is for like kids.
Yeah.
Kids watch Nickelodeon television shows, and like the game has wave dashing in it.
Right, it's not a game for them.
It really feels like it's not.
Yeah.
The when I'm watching people play the game, I'm watching like pros play it, and it's kind of hype watching people play the game, even though like there's some serious jank in that game. I think that like it is fun to watch them play it, but like all of the pros are playing it because like it's a fun game for them to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like the developers of the game made this game before called Slap City, which was is another platform fighter, and it's more it's also like highly technical. It's got the wave dashes and stuff like that. A lot of platform fighters do that kind of thing, and so it just feels like it feels like the entire game, like visually and thematically, is about Nickelodeon cartoon characters doing fun animations and hitting each other, and it being like a fun cartoon violence fest, mm-hmm. which is cool. But like in actuality, I mean, it's cool because they're cartoons and cartoons do have cartoon violence.
Yeah.
But in actuality, the game is like really hardcore in its play.
Yeah.
Huh. It just feels off. Like all of the animations are so quick. Actually, in motion, when like the pros are playing it actually like kind of works. But like when you're playing it and you're not moving that quickly, all the animations are so fast that you don't really get to experience the way SpongeBob moves.
Huh.
Like in his
right.
his
because that cartoons. Doesn't that doesn't frankly matter to hardcore players.
It doesn't. Yeah. Well, I mean, it matters some, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as much as the play does. Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this on the show, that Smash has a unique quality of being very casual friendly.
Yeah.
While also being highly technical, if you want it to be.
Yes.
That's, I guess, it's just harder to. You can lean one way or the other if you know who you're going to market to, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, rather than try to do both.
And to be fair, it's really difficult to animate things in a way that is satisfying, like, and still and satisfying in both, like, you know, animation visually and animation playstyle.
Yeah.
So like I don't fault the developers for not getting it right to my extent. Right.
Well, it seems like they made what they wanted to make.
Yeah.
It's just it confuses you.
It confuses me a lot.
Yeah.
It very much does. And I keep going over and over how that game, like, to me, it would make more sense if that game was like a regular 2D fighter like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And had slower animations and had fancy supers and stuff. Because then SpongeBob would get to blow a bubble and like trap your opponent and then make a bunch of Krabby Patties. I don't know.
Welcome to Steven's TED Talk.
Yeah. Oh boy, that was a lot of talking about commitment stuff. Does this make sense now?
Can I talk about what I think it means?
yes, please.
Okay, so what's interesting was what I'm taking away from what you're saying about this is like the games that you think work really well and are more accessible to players who maybe aren't experts in the fighting game genre are ones where there is a lot of commitment in the actions and there's a little bit it's a little bit more, not necessarily slow, but like there's space between the moves.
Yeah, I, yes.
Okay.
Well.
Let me keep going.
Space. Okay, yes, yes, yes.
Because I have a theory.
Okay.
And I think one of the, maybe, it's just almost like it's more human speed. Because when you're talking, when you were talking about the games that have commitment and like the way that people are interacting with their opponents, it actually reminded me more about what happens in a ring of actual fighters.
Yeah.
Right. So like in Taekwondo, and that was the sport that I did, like it's the sparring rules are very stylized, right? So it's not like MMA where you're trying to like actually knock somebody out, and it's not boxing where you're going to get, you know, you can probably get brain damage. Like sports can be dangerous, but, but like you aren't necessarily going to win through a knockout.
Yeah.
You, at least when I was doing it, you could do rules that way, at least at the Olympic level when I was sparring, but that wasn't like the leagues that we were in because I was still a kid, so we didn't have those rules.
Right. Is it sort of like fencing where...
It's a little bit like fencing.
There's a lot of like objective determination as to whether you've scored a hit.
Yeah, it's a point. It's a point system, exactly. So, and so like you'd, if you'd make a hit to the body, then it would be 1 point. If you'd made... You make a hit to the head, it'd be 2 points, but that's through kicking. Taekwondo is very kicking dependent. You could score a point through punching on like to the body, but you had to deliver it with such power that you'd actually like move your opponent, and you couldn't punch to the head.
What's interesting is because it has that system and there's different point values, it provides a meta to that game.
It does.
In a way that like boxing doesn't necessarily have. Well, boxing is scoring.
Yeah, no one knows nobody watches for scoring.
No one knows how that even works.
Yeah.
Well, the judges do. But that, to me, that's like the analogy to the people who are really, really good at fighting games playing like the really fast, the fast paced things that you're describing, right? Yeah. So like, I don't have the reflexes or the knowledge, and I didn't even when I was practicing a ton every single day to be able to score very well and consistently and watch a game and be like, that's a point, that's a point, that's a point. Mm-hmm. But it was still accessible to me as a fighter to like get in there, and you'd like circle around a little bit and you'd do your feinting, and you'd like, then you'd start by a little like bouncing so you can get a sense of the ring and the movement. Yeah. And I realized I'm moving away from the mic, and that's
you're bouncing
not,
away. You're I'm bouncing showing the mic. It, displaying it with your voice.
Yeah. So, and then like, then you might like try a couple feints, and you like might try a really like something that looks like a high commitment feint where you're like kind of wind up for a combo or something, but then you cancel it really quick. Yeah. Or like you think you try to telegraph one combo that you've tried a couple times, try to fake them out. So then they try to counterattack your combo.
The the mind games.
Exactly.
The mind games.
Exactly. And then the thing is you switch your combo in the middle because like you were playing it the whole time, and you twist the other way, and then you kick him right in.
Yes.
Which you can't do until, I don't know, like you
until
have
you
to
have
commit
enough
to it.
Tactical skill to be able to do those things.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So the way that you're describing the games, that the kind of fighting games that you like and that you advocate for, to me, have the rhythm of a real fight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, arguably all of the games have that rhythm, but like,
yeah,
no.
Well.
Okay.
You're being very generous.
I mean,
yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. That's fair.
It just seems. I don't know. Like, so there's like an analogy.
Well, as opposed to like you mapped it 1-to-1 pretty well to what Steven's sort of platonic ideal is.
Yeah.
And so I totally see the connection you're drawing.
Right. Yes. And then like the the way that you were describing the more fast paced kind of lower commitment ones just reminded me of like slap fights I'd get into with my sister in the back of the minivan. Like stop.
Yeah. Well, so this is the thing that I thought I was getting from your sort of your theory or your what you would prefer is. Because there's more space between and there's more strategy, that also there's larger consequences for failure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in that consequence, you can learn something about your opponent, and you can also like understand, you can learn something about your own strategy. Whereas the faster paced thing, it feels like it's much harder to adapt because it's very, you're getting these micro pieces of information. And but the question I have is, am I reading that right? Because what I want from a game like this is to fail more often so I can gather information.
Yeah.
But maybe that happens in the faster paced.
It does happen in the faster paced games. You do fail more. Well, your fails are less.
But they're less consequential.
It depends on the game.
Yeah.
Because like this new game, the Nick game is very fast paced, but very punishing if you fail. Because like there are basically one hit kill combos effectively.
Right.
Or like, instant, you get hit once and you're dead. So like your fail states are how many lives you have.
Right.
So I think that but I think that like if there are certain faster paced games where you could fail and it won't be as significant.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fail more frequently.
So you can even budget failure.
Yes. And in fact, you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
I think in optimal play, I think you're supposed to budget because you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
In optimal play, you're supposed to budget for that failure and use that as an opportunity for someone to reveal their hand effectively,
mm-hmm.
their strategy, what they want to do and how they're planning on doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it doesn't exactly work in that way. The slower paced games doesn't necessarily make it that failure is better.
Well, maybe not necessarily failure, but like, you know, if you try something and it doesn't work,
yes.
not that you get hit or there's a counter to you.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what I find appealing about it, and I guess it could go either way,
mm-hmm.
is a system that lets me like use my tactics to gain information.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it almost seems like that either strategy or either type of play can do that.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on the type. Maybe reading a little bit too much into it.
No, I think that's true. I think that it doesn't matter what type of fighting game you're playing. I think you ultimately do want to use your attacks to gain information, exploit that information to defeat your opponent.
Right.
But that information has to come from like how do I describe it? I don't think commitment is necessarily going to provide the information you need for that particular.
Okay, well, let's bail on that train of thought then,
okay.
and close out with, like, as designers,
yes.
what is the approach you take if you want to have a more sort of deliberate strategy,
okay.
or take commitment seriously, however you fall on that on the side of the argument?
I mean, like, first thing you can do is you can tweak your damage so that, like, you deal more damage, but your moves are slower. So just, like, double the damage you deal, half the speed of your animations.
Sure.
Just try that. Feel that, how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
Do that a few times. Experiment with it. I think that like is a good way of at least starting with the approach. When I was working on Rhythm Rumble, I initially wanted the game to be very slow. People did not like that. I wanted it to be like every beat. You could only do one action every beat. We changed it so that like you can do quarter beats and half beats and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know that fully worked out. I kind of wish I had went with the original design plan, but I think that it was more, you know, you can mash more buttons.
Right. But you lose the track of the beat.
You lose track of the beat. Yeah. People had issues with that. And like, I had to justify or I had to like figure out a combination or figure out what would work best with that.
Yeah.
And it did. There's a lot of things that I think didn't work with that in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But like I tweaked a bunch of stuff and already get to the point where that worked out sort of well. At least in terms of like playing the game, it felt fun to play.
Right. But you started from a place of like, almost extreme slowness.
Yes.
You found the limit of that and then you worked your way back from that.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that would be valuable to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like if you're trying to make a game that is high commitment or low commitment, it plan for that and play the game a bunch and see how much players are committing to the actions that they're doing in your action game, in your fighting game, in whatever game it is that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I do want to make clear that I don't think that having low or high commitment moves is like the accessibility tool.
Right.
I mean, we've been talking about it in terms of accessibility, but I think it's just, it makes the game easier to approach for players to play if it's slower.
Yeah.
I don't think it's I don't think it's like strictly an accessibility thing.
Right.
But
in the general sense, you're talking about the general sense. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it can be valuable for that potentially if you use it in the right way.
We should do like a workshop where you make us play a couple different fighting games that you think have a completely different feel.
Oh.
And we revisit this topic. Like,
and we see if we can read them. And
oh, y'all
we come up with like new language or new way of, you know.
Yeah, y'all would hate that, but.
For science.
For science.
For podcasts.
I mean, ultimately for you, Steven.
Aww.
All right, that's our show. Check out our website, nicegames.club, for show notes and links to resources on today's topics. Many and myriad fighting game resources. Correct, Steven?
Yeah, we'll have a bunch of lists. I didn't list them, but we will.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode and our programming in general. Go to nicegames.club/feedback and tell us what you think. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter at nicegamesclub, where Dale tweets about game dev resources and gender-neutral nicknames. Or you can email us through contact@nicegames.club. Want to support the show? There are so many ways. Give us a review on your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about your favorite episodes. Join us on Discord by visiting nicegames.club/discord. And hey, we're also on Patreon. As a patron of the show, you'll enjoy bonus content, extra jokes, and a whole lot more. sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.